It's the next episode of Them Aspergers.
That was bad.
What?
I didn't like that intro.
What was wrong with that intro?
It was annoying.
Okay, well, welcome to a new week of Them Aspergers. Thanks everybody that's still listening to this.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Thank you.
I have finally sorted out the Facebook page problem. Inside the Bubble's gone. I've made Them Aspergers as a Facebook page. I've been told there's been some reviews on iTunes about us. Somebody on there mentioned that we should be on social media so they can contact us. So, to that effect, I've made a Twitter account and an Instagram account. So now we've got Them Aspergers on all of them. I'll try and, once we put this out, get them shared to each one.
Yeah.
So if anybody does,
it's just Them Aspergers on everything, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Nobody's ever used that, so I don't have to worry about.
Yeah.
Anyone getting about, so that's good. And also,
thank you for your reviews as well. They're really nice. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Seems to do well. People like the burger to burger conversations. And somebody mentioned that we're not too jolly, which they enjoy.
Yeah.
Apparently a lot of Asperger podcasts are have a lot of music and like really upbeat people.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, sometimes we're really happy and sometimes we talk about things and it's really not jolly.
No, it isn't. Well, it's just a bit, I don't know, I guess there's...
Yeah. Like, sometimes we finish episodes and go, oh, that was a bit serious. For the whole thing, but
yeah, but that seems to be okay.
Okay,
no one's told us to cheer up.
Yeah,
so there's that. Anyway, so this week we're going back to the list. And the list is the next one we're going to talk about is stimming. Is next this week?
Yeah.
Initially, I was worried that I know nothing about stimming, so I thought that this would just be a you thing, because you are quite the stimmer.
Queen stimmer.
But then, like, so I didn't want to look it up too much, because I didn't want to start doing, like, research into it, because I just figured, like, most of our podcasts are about mine and your experiences. There's people out there that have listened to this that have said that we're talking about things that they also experience. So it seems okay. I didn't want to, like, overlook it. But I had a look because I was worried that you'd talk about it all the way through this episode and I'd, like, not be able to contribute anything.
Yeah.
But then I found loads of weird stuff that's classed as stimming that I realise, oh, wait, no, I do that. So that's...
Oh, that'd be interesting. That'd be a good thing to talk about as well.
Because apparently, like, everyone stims, autistic or not.
Okay.
So apparently regular people, well, the neurotypical people stim as well. For those that aren't sure what stimming is, it's just stimulating or stimulation, or it's something you do. For example, the NT stims are people that, like, bite their nails, people that, like, twiddle their hair when they're talking.
Drum their fingers against a table.
Yeah, tapping pens on stuff. Yeah. But apparently, like, the Asperger autistic stims are completely different, and apparently it's one of the key things that will help someone identify if someone's autistic, because they're ones like repeating certain words over and over again, flapping their hands about in front of their face.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of some others now that I've seen do. I guess there's, like, not hair pulling, but things like that.
Yeah.
So autistic stims are, apparently they're more obvious, and I was reading something that said that they think that everybody who is on the spectrum will have some of these stims. I just didn't think I did, so I just thought, well, not everyone.
Yeah.
But then I looked into what they were classing as it, and yeah, I've got a few.
That'd be interesting.
But starting with yourself... Because you stim all the time. Your main one being the touching yeah, of everything. But you can explain that, seeing as you're the one that does it.
I didn't really know it was stimming until not that long ago. But yeah, I've always liked stroking soft things. I have like a... I've mentioned it before, but like that I really like soft things. When I was younger, I used to have pillows that I slept with that were really soft. And I used to just stroke them before I went to bed or whenever I was in my bedroom. So if I was like watching TV in the bedroom or something, I'd stroke the soft pillows. And now... now I have different things. I have like a little cushion that's really soft. I chucked the pillow away because, well, you told me it was gross.
It was gross. I wasn't actually sure it was a pillow. When you said it was soft, it looked like... It's hard to explain what it looked like. I think I explained it was like Freddy Krueger's face. Yeah. I think I started referring to that pillow every time I saw it as Krueger.
Yeah. So I chucked that away when I moved flat. Now I've got like a small... cushion, but also I've got like soft blankets. I've got tops that I like that are really soft that I'll stroke. So I use it during the day as well, or but whenever I use it to calm myself down all the time. So I'll wear tops that are a really soft material, and then I won't stop just stroking them when I'm wearing them. Or if I'm feeling like a bit down or stressed out or anything, when I get home I always get into the blanket so that I'm just like surrounded in the softness, and I'll rub like my feet against it and my hands against it. So I guess that's the main way I stim, because I do that all the time.
Do you do it in public?
Yes, if I'm feeling really anxious or worked up, or for some reason I really don't want to go downtown, because that definitely happens to me. Like there'll be days on my days off where if something's happened that's just messed with my head and I don't want to go out in public, but I need to like get the food shopping or something, I'll take my bag with me, but I'll have the top in my bag and I'll just have my hand in there stroking it as I walk around. I don't really know what it does, because it's not something I really think about. I just automatically do it. But I think it's just... I guess it's the stimulation. So maybe if I'm focused on stroking that, I'm not focused on the fact that I'm out. I don't know. Like, it's definitely a weird... I can tell that it just calms me down without having to think about it. If I feel stressed or anxious, if I start stroking something soft, it does... It doesn't make the thing go away, but it definitely just makes me calmer. But I don't know why, and I can't explain it, but... I guess that's the stimulation is.
Yeah, I like I said, I didn't want to over research this and look at like what the outcome is or why it's done.
Yeah.
Because like I say, I know very little about it. But if I did look up what was done, like I feel like with the way Asperger's is, and you know, you tend to read something and then take it as that's what it is. So I think I would have read, this is why people on the spectrum stim. And then I would have been like, oh, I'd assume that's what it was. And then I'd try and like bend this conversation into this is why it's done. So I didn't do that because I wanted to sort of get more of a natural, why do you think you do it?
Well, yeah, I think I do it for loads of reasons. I think I do it to calm myself down. I definitely know that it has that effect. But it's not like I only have the pillow to stroke when I'm stressed or anxious. I also just use it because I like it. I've always liked it. It's just something that I enjoy doing. It's like a hobby. I don't know. Like when I was younger, if I was sat in bed or I was near my pillow, I'd be stroking it because I enjoy doing it. And that's what I'm like in my flat now. So if I'm sat watching TV or I'm reading, I'll have something soft near me and I'll just be stroking it just because I like it. So I use it to calm myself down, but I just use it whenever I can. Also in just a calming way, I guess.
Yeah. One I've noticed about you that I've always commented on and you pretend like you don't do it is the stomping. You're a stomper. Like, when you come up and downstairs, like, if you ever come around to my flat, like, there's loads of people coming in and out of this building. Like, there's a few flats in here. But I know when it's you that's coming into the flat because of the sound of you coming upstairs is is loud. Do you know what I mean? And like, you're quite small. Right? You're not that big. You don't weigh anything, really. But equally, every time I hear you coming upstairs, I can hear you coming upstairs. When we go like running, like, you're loud when you run. And same when you walk, I think. Actually, I don't know about you walking. I think you walk.
I think I walk normally.
I think you walk normally, but you're quite definitely like a stomper. You like to like really like push your feet into the floor, which when I had the sensory therapist, she said that this was sensory feedback and is also classed as a form of stimming.
Okay.
But you don't seem to be aware of the fact you're doing it. And every time I tell you that I can hear you coming upstairs, and you must know that I do, because I'm usually got my door open and I'm out on my landing before you've got upstairs. So you're just like, and you're always like, oh, how did you know I was here? And I was like, yeah, I can tell.
Yeah, well, I think originally you'd say that I'd stomped up the stairs and I thought you were joking.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess now I'm starting to accept that maybe.
Yeah, you just, I don't know, like, do you even know you're doing it? Like, do you get any, like, sort of feeling from...
No.
From slamming, like, your feet into the floor? Do you notice that you're doing it?
No, I have no idea that I'm doing it. I've never thought that I was loud, but, yeah, you said that I am, so... But I don't, it's never something that I think, oh, I really like the feeling of my feet slamming into the ground or anything like that. I guess to an extent, when I first started running, I remember having this thing of, I really like the feeling of my feet running.
Yeah.
But I always just associated that with just enjoying running. And you hear people say it all the time, like, oh, I just want to, I don't know, feel my feet slap the ground repeatedly, like, just because they enjoy running and everything that running gives them. So maybe my thing for running is more of a sensory thing. But I've never really thought about it. And I honestly couldn't tell you, like, there's nothing now that's going in my head, like, yeah, that's because you like the feeling of it on your feet. I don't think that, but it, maybe that's true. And I just don't.
Yeah. Well, don't realize. If you're doing it.
Yeah.
Like, there's some stuff that you don't realize you're doing until somebody points it out.
Yeah.
Like, my ex told me that I used to, well, I still do, I just, there's no one around telling me I'm doing it anymore. But apparently, like, I drag myself against walls. So, like, when I'm walking against a wall, I'll put, like, the top part of my arm and my shoulder on the wall and then sort of, like, drag myself against it as I'm walking. And apparently I do it from time to time. Not always, but there are times when I will do that. Or if I'm sat with, like, my back to the wall, I'll, like, start moving, like, rocking slightly. And rocking's one of those stims that people on the spectrum do, that if you see someone rock when they're sat, like, that's usually, like, people look at people that do that as crazy.
Yeah.
But apparently, like, the rocking or, like, head bobbing or that kind of thing is an autistic stim. And, yeah, like, I mean, I don't rock, but, like, if I'm sat with my back on something, I'll start, like, just gently, like, moving my back against it and, like, rubbing, like, my back against, like, walls and stuff. Yeah, which is one of the ones that I didn't realise I did. But I think it might be, like, more of a distraction for stims. I think they are a way to, like, I don't know if it's if you're feeling, like, anxious or that kind of thing. Because obviously, in your case, you do the touch thing all the time. But doesn't that mean that you've got, like, anxiety constantly?
No, but I think people on the spectrum are usually, like, constantly thinking, and I think, like, their brains, not that NT people aren't, but I think, like, with Asperger's, you're constantly thinking about maybe different things, like things to do with your routine and just rumination in general. So I think maybe stimming is just a way to try and put your focus into something so that you can not be thinking all these thoughts all up. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it might be to do with that.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. Like, repetition of words and stuff was another one I saw.
Okay.
I would say that's something I do. But they reckon, like, doing it in, like, odd voices and that kind of thing.
Oh, that's definitely you.
It's classed as, like, a stim thing. Like, I say certain words or do things in weird voices all the time, I know.
Yeah.
And it'll just be the odd sentence or the odd thing where I'll put on a different voice to do it. And, yeah, apparently that's classed as, like, one of the more autistic stims because it does look weird if you talk to someone or say... And I don't say stuff that's relevant or say stuff that's... Like, it's not like I say the sentence I was gonna say to somebody, but just in a different voice. I'll say random phrases that, like, have nothing to do with the conversation. And I'll do it in, like, a different accent or a slightly different voice that have nothing to do with anything. I've always done it. I don't know why I do it. I also make random noises for no reason. Which is also, I've read, is... classed as a stim, so just making, and I'll just, yeah, I make, like, certain, like, screeching noises, or, like, and it'll just be at random, like, there'll just be weird things where I'll be stood in a certain bit, like, or walking around, and I'll just make a noise that doesn't make any sense, and it'll just come out of anywhere, and it's just, like, and I always get, like, people always go, was that you? And I'm, like, yeah.
One thing I've noticed about you with the random noises is, like, you'll do it randomly and sporadically, but I noticed that you do it more when, so, like, you tend to do it more, for example, at work, if we've been at work and it's been a long day, you do it more towards the end, and I don't know whether that's just because you've been at work for a long time and now you're maybe getting bored or you've had too much of, because obviously working with the public, it's a lot for someone on the spectrum because it's not pleasant. So maybe it's something to do with that. But I definitely notice that it's towards the end of the day at work. I don't really notice it if we've, like, had a day off together and we've hung out. I don't notice that you start doing it at the end of the day then.
Yeah.
But definitely at work, it's something that you do a lot more towards the end.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. But I don't know. I've done it most of the time. Or I don't do it and think about doing it before I do it. I tend to just do it and then, like, I just tend to look around like, oh, and then most of the time nobody's noticed or no one's saying anything. So I just kind of think, oh, that's okay. But then I guess the people we work with for a while, it might just be a case of they have just got used to it.
Yeah, I mean, the people we work with are... it's not like an office environment. We don't have, like, this level of behaving professional. So everyone's quite chill and it's not the weirdest thing that anyone does at our job, really, is it? So I think maybe it's just the people don't think about it.
I suppose not. But yeah, like, can you think of any others apart from the touch thing for you that you do? Any weird... like, hand movements or, like, do you ever, like, you're not a nail biter or anything like that?
Yeah. I'm not a nail biter. I've never been a nail biter. A thing that I don't do it very often, but a thing that I used to do a lot more when I was younger and I still enjoy it now. I don't know if this is stimming or just I just like the feeling. But when I was younger, I used to squeeze my nose really hard. So it really hurts. But I kind of, it's a weird in-between between pain and kind of liking the feeling. So I used to squeeze my nose really hard. I also used to use my tongue to push my mouth out as far as I can, like all around my mouth, like my cheeks, in front of my teeth. And that was, again, it was a weird sort of, there was pain to it, but also it kind of felt nice. And that's something that I still do from time to time, but when I was younger, I used to do it all the time.
Yeah, I mean, I like to touch spiky surfaces.
Yeah.
It's the same thing there. Like, I'll do it all the time. If I know something's sharp or got a point on it, I'll touch it. And I'll touch it every time when I see it. Not to, like, cut myself or anything, but just enough so I know that it is. It's the same with, like, because we have a different perspective on this one, but... like, even though you touch soft surfaces, I like to touch things that are, like, you know, like, sides of, like, buildings that have, like, that weird brick that's, like, really, like, rough. Like, I like to, like, touch that kind of stuff or anything that's got, like, sandpapery, like, really, like, hard textures. And, yeah, I've never thought about, like, having it near me when I'm feeling, like, stressed or anxious. This is just more of a, if it's there, I'll touch it. But, like, I guess I can't bring a brick into work and have it, yeah, like, near the counter. But, yeah, I mean, is it, I can't decide if it's just an anxiety thing or not, or if it's a stress thing, or it's just something people do to, I suppose, keep focus. Like, I was told by the sensory therapist that it can be a way to, like, keep you concentrated or, like, on something.
Oh, that's interesting.
To keep you, like, in the thing. Because, I mean, have you ever tried not doing it when you don't want to do it? So, say you want to touch something soft, or you want to do the stim that you want to do. Have you ever tried not doing it and to see what happens? Or, like, if you haven't, like, what do you think will happen if you don't do it?
I have, when I was younger, and a little bit more recently, but when I was younger, my mum once got fed up of how disgusting my pillows were, because they were bad. So just took them off me. But then I could not get to sleep at all. I did eventually, but it took me ages, like ages and ages to get to sleep. And I'm still like that now. If I don't have anything soft, I do really struggle to get to sleep, which is weird because that's not a thing that happens to me either. I'm not one of those people that stays up or has any trouble getting to sleep. I can fall asleep as soon as my head hits the pillow, as long as I've got something soft to stroke.
So you have to stim yourself to sleep?
Yeah, I guess so. Which is weird because I don't find it difficult to fall asleep at all. I never have. I'm really good at just falling asleep. But if I haven't got something soft, it just doesn't happen.
Okay. So if you stim, you're asleep straight away. If you don't stim, you just stay awake.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I don't know whether that's... I don't think that's to do with sleeping. Maybe it's to do with the relaxing, or it's to do with the not thinking too much because you're focused on stimming. I don't know what it is, but yeah.
Yeah, like, it does seem to be like a way to keep calm. Like, I don't know, like when I do the voices and stuff or the weird noises, I do feel like it's a distraction.
Yeah.
But yeah, these are the ones that make you more autistically obvious, apparently. Like, people that do them in public are seen as, like, you can tell there's something different with them. Apparently, if your stims are the normal ones, like I said, like tapping pens on counters or twiddling your hair or that kind of thing, it's seen as the norm.
Yeah.
But apparently the ones that autistic people do are, like, key. And I don't know. I don't think, like, watching you, like, rub something soft constantly, like, is a sign that you're autistic. But then I can't think of, like, if I've seen anyone NT do that one. So I suppose if someone caught you doing it all the time, and if you're always doing it, it does look a bit like, you know, like children with, like, comfort blankets or that, yeah, kind of thing. It looks not autistic, but it looks like you haven't, like,
got past that,
got out of that phase. So yeah. I don't know if that's like a
yeah,
a thing that's what would make it more obvious, because you don't have any that I think, well, they're like weird. I think my, like, making random noises in public or talking to people, I'll just talk to people in weird accents, and sometimes I'll continue to talk in that accent for ages.
Yeah.
I've done it with you a few times where you've told me to stop doing it and I'm still doing it. So I think, like, mine are more, and like the dragging against walls and like that kind of thing, and like if I do look like I'm rocking when I'm sat, same thing. I think mine appear more autistic than your ones. So yeah. I don't know. I don't know if you've got any others apart from those two. Like the force feedback stuff of, like, stomping up and down stairs and, like, slamming your feet into the floor. Like, I don't think you've realised that you do that one. But yeah, you you definitely do. But, like, I think you have the ones that, like, and I don't have, but you have the bad ones as well. Like, I've thought about, like, there's bad stims. So a lot of people on the spectrum have the ones that, you know, like tags in clothing.
Oh, yeah. Wait, is that a stim?
Yeah, apparently, because it's a negative one because it's in your clothes.
Yeah.
And a lot of people on the spectrum don't like tags in clothes. They cut them out. And it's the negative stimulation of it, because it's not, obviously, it's not sharp. It's not, it doesn't dig in. It's not like it's injuring you. But it's all you think about, yeah, you know, when it's there, when the tag's in there, and it's like sticking into your, like.
No, I don't know. That's not 100% just people on the spectrum, though. I know people that aren't
there. Yeah, but like people that aren't do it just sort of go, I've got this tag. This tag's annoying. But when you're on the spectrum, like, you just start thinking about the tag.
Well, it's itchy. Yeah, it's, but so, do you itchy, know what I mean? Like,
NT people can have the tag in the clothes, have the tag rub them when they're talking to people, but then not care. You know, like, just be like, yeah, it is a bit irritating, but whatever, I'll cut it out when I get a chance. Whereas when you're on the spectrum and that thing's bothering you, it starts becoming the only thing you're thinking about, and people are having conversations with you, but you're just thinking about the tag. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, it pulls focus from everything you're doing. Like, yesterday was the same. Like, you had those tags in your jeans, and, like, the way you were about me having to cut it out for you, like, it was like, it has to be done right now. Like, that's it. I can't go on with... I can't live anymore with this tags in my jeans.
Because I'd had the tag in my jeans for a while.
Yeah, exactly. But, like, do you know what I mean? Like, the drama of it... When you were like, get it cut out now, like, do you know what I mean? Like, that's not, in a sense, like, a normal thing. And there are, like, negative stims as well that also have, like,
I think,
the opposite effect.
I think we have one more positive stim.
Oh, okay.
Well, I think we both have it with chewing gum.
Yeah, I mean, like, chewing in general. Well, I don't chew as much gum as you do. I chew gum for it's more of a sensory thing for me. So it's more for the minty, like, taste of it. I like the taste of the thing. Like, but then again, yeah, I suppose I'll chew it to the point where it doesn't taste like anything anymore, and I'll still be chewing it. I suppose chewing is probably definitely a stim. But then, like, do you chew stuff that's not gum? Like, do you ever just find yourself biting things?
I like to chew things till my jaw aches, and I like the, and maybe that's a sensory thing, if I like the ache in my jaw.
Right.
So, I mean, most of the time it's been gum, but there have been times where I've been biting things, just using, like, properly the side of my mouth.
Right.
That are definitely too hard to, like, I can't bite through them, but I'll just sort of gnaw on them, even if it's not food, just to get the ache in my mouth.
Yeah, I mean, do you need to do that all the time, or do you think that comes up, like, at various points?
I don't need to do it all the time, but I know that when I'm at work, I like to always have gum in. If I haven't got gum when I'm at work, then I feel more on edge. I find that the gum is almost like a safety thing for me. It makes me feel, I guess maybe it's the distraction of it, but I know that definitely when I'm at work, I like to have gum. And if I don't, I notice that I don't have it. It's a thing in my brain goes, you haven't got any gum. Like, gum would make you feel better now. And then I don't chew as much gum when I'm on my own or not at work, but I definitely, if I see a pack of gum, I always want it. I always want to have the sensation of chewing. Like, I don't have it because I feel like I need to make my breath minty fresh. Like, it's the enjoyment that I get from chewing it. So I don't do it as much anymore, but when I used to live in quite a one room place with my ex-boyfriend. And I think when we lived together, I chewed a lot of gum when I was in the flat as well.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was because it wasn't like the living together. I think it was just it was so small. It was smaller than your living room. Like, I mean, you know where I used to live.
Yeah, I've seen it. I've been there.
Yeah, it was just a studio flat. So it's just one room. And I used to chew a lot of gum in it. I mean, when you first came round, do you remember there was just gum everywhere?
Yeah, you did have a lot of like multi packs of gum. And yeah, you do go through it when we're at work. You get those big like plastic bottles of gum.
Yeah.
And you do seem to constantly need gum to be chewing.
Yeah.
That's definitely a stim thing. But then, like, does that mean that you're always anxious when we're at work? Like, all the time, all the way through it? Like, do you feel that, like, a calming relief once you start the stim of chewing? So, like, once it's in there and things, do you feel, like, a wave of, like, calm?
Yeah. Yeah, like, I would say, yeah, I am always anxious when I'm at work, but not, like, extremely. I get extremely anxious with things like when I'm having to deal with customers shouting at me. That's like a real anxious, but I'm always just a little bit on edge. I think at this point, because it just sometimes you don't expect it, and then all of a sudden you can be getting shouted at, and it is kind of a almost sort of volatile place to be in that sense, especially with us being management, because you hear like a customer's getting annoyed, like more and more annoyed, and you know that it's going to have to be you that goes over there to sort of deal with the situations. There is always just a small sense of, oh god, like what's going to happen next sort of thing.
But like if you had the gum,
yeah,
it's easier to deal with.
Yeah, definitely. It is small. It's not like I can't be at work because of how horrific my anxiety is. It's not like that at all.
Yeah, because you just wouldn't go. There have been situations where you can't go through with it and you've just not gone.
Yeah.
So, there's been, I can think of a few times where we're supposed to have done something and you just didn't do it. So, I get that.
But, it's just lightly. So, I think the gum helps. But that was just one that I thought we both did.
I didn't have gum up until we started hanging out. Before then, I'm not really like I don't need the gum. But then, like, it's an odd one because I know you can cover it. So, like, some kids are like, I don't know if it's becoming more acceptable now for people on the spectrum to stim in public. But I know that I was reading something about parenting or something to do with autism or that kind of thing. And they said that there's a lot of people that try and like mask their stims now. And I don't know if I would have more and I just choose to not do them. Yeah. So like, I don't know if I realize that certain ones I have are weird because people have commented on the past that, you know, it's odd that you do that. Like, I don't know if you ever noticed it, but I do it all the time. I stand differently to everybody else when I'm stood still. I do like a weird leg crossy thing.
Yeah.
It's hard to explain.
Yeah.
But I do it everywhere.
Yeah.
When I stop, for some reason my legs cross over and I stand in an odd position. I don't do it anywhere except when I'm in public.
Oh, that's interesting.
It's weird. I only do it like when I'm at work, if I'm in supermarkets. When I go to stand still, I won't stand like feet to feet. It's hard to explain what I do, but it's kind of like my right leg crosses over my left leg and I stand like that.
Yeah.
And it's something I've only ever done in public. It's something that it's been commented on by people in the past that have said, you know, you stand weird. And the thing is when I'm stood like that, I like to distribute weight from like one leg to another.
Okay.
So like you can't tell I'm doing it because the movement's really subtle, but like I like try and move all my weight to like one leg, then to the back leg, then to the front leg while I'm stud. And I'll only do it like in public. And it's when I'm like, I've noticed I'll do it in supermarkets when I'm stud looking at trying to decide what I'm going to get for food and that kind of thing. Or I'll do it when I'm at work and talking to someone. It's definitely something that, because I knew we were going to do this subject of stimming, I knew we were going to do it early. I've kind of been watching my week and just seeing if there's stuff I do. And that's one of them. Like at the moment, we haven't had a stressful week, but we had a stressful day at work.
yeah, we did.
Like not yesterday, but the day before. And I was trying to look at ones we were doing during that period or like stims that I was doing to try and bring myself like back to normal. And yeah, the standing one was there. At the moment, I've got a plaster on the end of my finger, which I use for... Like, every time I've got one, I do this, which is what I'm doing now. You can't see it, but I do that a lot, like, while I'm sat.
So you're, like, rubbing against the plaster?
Yeah, with my thumb. It's on my index finger. And yeah, so, like, that's something I've noticed I'm doing. But it's not like, oh, I should just put a plaster on my finger every time, because that would do it. Even though I have found it more calming to have that. I've noticed with elastic bands as well, actually, that's another one. We have a lot of elastic bands at work. I don't know if you ever noticed, but I always have one along my three fingers. Yeah. And I tend to flick it.
Yeah.
Or, like, stretch it out and, like, put it, like, against my skin in general. And, yeah, I must do it only during an anxiety thing. Obviously, you need it to sleep with the touching of stuff. But it must be an anxious thing. So I guess it's a good indicator to tell if somebody on the spectrum, or if you know somebody on the spectrum, if they have these stims, it means that something's more likely worrying them or bothering them. I don't know if there's... Because I can't think of a situation where I know a stim makes me happy and I'm feeling a bit like, I don't know, like, meh about everything. And I do a stim and then I'm like in a good mood. I can't think of that. I'm sure it does exist, but as far as I can tell with me and you, is all the stims are just as a way to deal with anxiety.
Yeah.
But I think there are stims that help people with other emotions as well. So I think some stims make certain people on the spectrum feel happy. So they do them to put themselves in a good mood. I can't think of any in particular that I do. But like I said before, and I've mentioned in previous podcasts, I'm someone that hides all my autistic traits.
Yeah.
I've worked out what the majority of them are. Apart from the involuntary ones, I'm good at hiding them. And I think with stims, like, I'm not 100% sure, but I imagine I had ones when I was younger that were way more there. Yeah. And I think I've learned to replace them with ones that are less obvious.
Yeah.
And I've tried to swap them out. But then, like, I think my anxiety levels in general are usually quite high. But I'm really good at pretending like they're not. So I'm always like, I don't know if you, I mean, you know me, but like, I always try and come off like quite calm and normal. But I know that internally, like, I'm quite an anxious person, but I don't ever show it. But then I worry, like, because if I'm not doing the stims anymore as well, or I've tried to suppress them, if it is a good way of coping with anxiety, it might be like an idea of bringing them back. But then, like, when I saw a sensory therapist, they gave me like fidget cubes and that spiky ball. Yeah. And like things to the fidget cube definitely is a, and the, do you remember fidget spinners when they were a thing? Like, obviously, they were, I remember reading that they were originally like autistic toys.
Yeah.
And they'd definitely be a form of stimming, is messing with something like that. The spinners, or the cubes, or just having something that's like the spiky ball I've got, it's hard to explain, but you know, like those, I'm not explaining to you, you know what they are, you've seen it, but they're like those spiky balls you're supposed to put in tumble dryers and do something to close. Squeezing them, because it, like, they're spiky, they're hard, and they kind of like stab into your hands, is definitely like a form of stimming there. But using those sort of ones, so like the squeezing of the ball and that kind of thing, once I'd seen the sensory therapist and they were telling me to use that kind of stuff as a way of like coping when I was out and about, she was like, keep something like that on you to use it as a form of stimulation to keep yourself calm. I couldn't do it. So I tried. I brought that red ball. I took it with me occasionally from time to time. Same with like the fidget cube. I try and bring it in, but the trouble was, is I didn't want to get it out in public. I think there was a time when I got the red spiky ball out. I was at a meeting somewhere, I can't remember where it was, and I was squeezing it like under the tab, like I was hiding it under the desk so no one could see it. The trouble is, it's a ball and it's quite a big ball, and I dropped it and it rolled under the table and hit somebody else, like other side of the room's foot. So they went under the table, picked it up, and put it on the desk, and was like, "What's this?" And I had to just look at them like, That's mine. And they're like, what is it? And I'm just like, can you just give me it back? And they just gave me it back. But then everyone was looking at me just like, why was he playing with a spiky ball under the counter? And obviously, like, in my case, because I try and, like, present myself normal all the time.
Yeah.
I found that having stuff like that on me looks weird.
Yeah.
And people are just looking at me like, why has he got that? Why does he use that? So I like more normal ones like elastic bands or plasters on my fingers or that kind of thing. Just because I know I'm going to need them. But, like, I don't know that I'm going to need them. This is the thing that I suppose what I'm saying is, I don't do it on intentionally. I don't think, like, oh, I started work, elastic bands on the finger. I'm wearing, like, the plaster on the finger. Like,
yeah.
I'm set for the day. It's just, like, you just find yourself doing them, and it isn't till, like, a good, like, 10, 15 minutes into doing it, you just sort of look and go, oh, I'm doing this. And it isn't till, like, you've got that awareness or knowledge of it that you then start realising you're doing it. But I've never really thought about why. I just think it's something I do. But yeah, the ones like the ball and the cube and that kind of thing, I can't do them because they go against my whole not trying to appear autistic. But I imagine if I got over feeling that way, I probably could just use them in public and
yeah.
They'd probably be better for me than what I've got now. Because I think at the moment now, like, the ones I use are too, like, toned down that they don't really work. And, like, unlike you, I don't have any, like, bedtime ones. So sometimes I just get home and think about the same thing over and over again. But I think if I'd have had the stim at the time while it was happening, I think it wouldn't matter.
Yeah.
I think in the situations, like you said, when you've been chewing gum, when you've been talking to people, there have been times where people have been, like, proper shouting at you and having a go, but you've had the gum, and you've just come out of it like it didn't happen and you've not noticed.
Yeah.
So I think it's definitely a good thing. I know that it's different now because people are more accepting of Asperger's, and if they've got kids on the spectrum, they let them do it in public. But I know that I was reading that people that are older were taught to stop it. You know, like,
yeah.
You do stuff like playing with something or messing with something or fidgeting.
Because, and you're told to sit still.
Yeah, because it was a comforting thing and it makes you feel better. But parents at the time were just like, that's weird, stop doing that. Like, so they stopped them from doing it. And yeah, I don't know what, like, long-term effect that has on somebody on the spectrum if they can't stim. Like, I don't know with me. Like, I think I've got like some health issues now, I think, related to the fact that I couldn't just stim it away. Maybe if you stim constantly, the anxiety sort of goes with it.
Yeah.
You know? It was just a... Yeah, just thought, were you gonna?
No. I think that's interesting though.
Yeah,
interesting thought behind it.
Because all I can think of is it's just a way to cope with mainly stress and anxiety to do them. And when somebody on the spectrum, especially someone that's not a late diagnosis and got diagnosed early, I've noticed that when I've observed other people on the spectrum and their anxiety levels are going up, that their stims become more vigorous.
Yeah.
Like, they'd start doing things more differently, like pulling at their clothes or
doing
the autistic stims, and they'll become more, like, rapid or more... And, yeah, if you start doing them in public, it definitely shows that there's something... Do you know what I mean? Like, say if you just start, like, grabbing your T-shirt and just pulling it and letting go, pulling it and letting go in public, like, it definitely looks different to everything else you're normally seeing, which is why... I think it was, like, covered up when people were younger and before, you know, the undiagnosed. But then the diagnosed, I think they're allowed to just do it in public because it's already out there that they've got it anyway. I also wanted to mention, and, like, don't talk about it if you don't want to talk about it, but there's a different type of stim that you do that I don't do.
Yeah.
Or that I don't think I do, which is that article that you read, the blog thing about, what did they call it? Dark stimming.
The dark side of stimming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know very little about this one, but, like, obviously I know you do it because I've seen the after effects knowing you've done it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, how would you explain it? Because I don't want to say it's self-harm, because I don't class it as, like, self-harm.
Yeah.
But it's more like, is it like a pain stim?
Yeah, I suppose. Like, it is self-harm, but it's not like, it doesn't come from a place of, or at least for me, it doesn't come from a place of like depression or wanting to hurt myself. So when I do it, it's when I'm having a meltdown.
Yeah.
And it's usually, I think what I use it for, because I don't think now I'm going to do this and it's not like an active choice, but I think the reason why I do it is to try and pull myself out of the meltdown.
Right.
So it's either to try and stop myself having a meltdown, because sometimes it happens like before when I'm feeling really worked up, but before I've actually started having a meltdown. Or I just use it, it's like a, I don't know, I think it's just a distraction. It's trying to get myself out of that mindset. But it's sort of, I punch things, I'll punch things, but I'll punch things that I know will like hurt my hands, and I'll try and like almost like try and make my hands bleed if I can, and I'll like hit my head.
Yeah, I've seen you do that.
Yeah, or I'll hit my head with my hands, or I'll try and hit my head against something. And I think in my head, I think that will stop the thoughts going round.
You scream really loudly.
I scream really loudly.
I would say that's definitely a stim.
Yeah. I didn't know that that was a stim, or I didn't know why I did that. But from, because I've read this article, apparently when you're screaming really loudly, it's to try and block out the thoughts. Like, so if you can scream almost like above your thoughts and then you can't hear them. But yeah, I do. I definitely scream.
I mean, I'm surprised your neighbours have never said anything.
I can't believe my neighbours have never said anything.
Because it's always really loud.
It's really loud. It's hideously loud. It's not like, it doesn't happen every time. It's not like every time I have a meltdown, it happens. But it's definitely something, I think the worse the meltdown, the more likely I am to do it. But yeah, the screaming, the punching, and just like sometimes I'll just like rub my hands against something that hurts and I know it hurts.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a few times. I mean, I'm used to it now, but there are times when you're coming to work and your hands are quite cut up. And you know, it looks like you've had like a cat or something. It's like those sort of marks. And I know for a lot of people, they notice it and are a little bit like, oh, should I ask? Shouldn't I ask? But for me, I know you've just had a bad meltdown now.
Yeah.
If I see it.
Yeah. It's not, it's not something that I want to do either. Like, I never want to do it. And once it's done, the fact that I can see it on my hands, cause that's the only time, like, I never like I'd never hit my head worryingly hard. Yeah. Oh, sorry, that was awful. I never hit my head like really bad or knock myself out or anything like that. And I never make my head bleed or give myself concussion. I hit my head, it's more of a like tappy, slappy, it's not.
Yeah, I've seen you do it. I wouldn't say you're trying to knock yourself out.
No, like not at all. It's more just I want to get the sort of sting of a slap, but it's not a hard thing. It's the only thing that is bad is my hands, and they're not bad as in dangerous, and they doesn't scar or anything like that. But it's annoying because it means for like a week following, I'll have these like scratches and cuts on my knuckles, and it's embarrassing. Like I hate it because I hate the fact that after it's happened, I then have to go into work and I can see my hands and I'm really embarrassed by it because it's not like a normal thing, and I don't want people to think I'm a weirdo, and I don't want people to think that I self-harm either, because I don't want people to think I'm depressed, because I'm not. And if anything, like, I worry that one, I look weird, and two, it looks like I'm maybe struggling. Like with people that do self-harm, I don't want to be put in the same category because I don't have the same problems. I have different problems, but I just don't want people to think that I am struggling in that way, because it kind of makes me feel like a faker, because I'm not. That's not me. It's not like I hate myself and that's why I'm doing it. It's purely when I'm having a meltdown, I get really angry at myself because I sort of, in my head, I sort of think, like, why can't you just be normal? Or why can't you just not let this bother you? Because I know that it's not the sort of thing that should be working me up so much. And it's more, like I want to inflict pain. I either want to distract myself, or I just kind of want to, be like, oh, you're being stupid, like snap out of it. But in my head, I just think like, maybe I could just hurt myself like this and that will make me feel better.
So like, if you do the screaming when you're having the meltdown to block out the thoughts, would you say the thoughts, because are they repetitive, the same thought, would you say that it's, that's like a form of stim, the repetitive thought, would you reckon, that's causing like, that then triggers a meltdown?
It could be, yeah.
Because, like, I don't like, obviously I've mentioned, I don't like repetition. I don't like it when people say the same thing over and over again. Yeah. Like, I don't like repeating myself, and I don't like people repeating themselves either. So, like, if someone asks me a question, or I ask someone a question and they say, what? And then I ask the question again and they go, sorry. I just then go, no, I'm not saying it again. And that's because the second I say it the third time, I find that when I say it the third time, I'll either shout it or I'll say it really aggressively because I'm super agitated all of a sudden from just the same thing. So like maybe that in itself like is a stim because I can't listen to the same thing over and over again. Same like, I know you're a bit like that when like people are crying in store, like kids, like children crying or like screaming or like that kind of thing like that.
It agitates me. Another thing that really agitates me is sneezing.
Yeah.
I hate when people sneeze. Like, someone can sneeze once, it's fine. But if someone sneezes multiple times, that's... like, I have a real problem with my mum because, you know, when you sneeze, you just need to blow your nose. Once you've blown your nose, you'll stop sneezing. My mum just won't do it. She'll sit there and sneeze, like, six times. I'm getting annoyed just thinking about it. When I used to live with her, it was genuinely a thing that we'd have arguments over. Because she'd sit there, sneezing away, and I'd be like, just go and blow your nose. And I'd get really angry. That's another one I have.
Yeah, like, I know we covered that in sensory, but I can't say if that's sensory or a stim now. I initially thought that would be a sensory thing, but...
I suppose it is. It's your, like,
because I'm sensory to certain noises. Certain noises are irritating, but no, I actually maybe it is sensory. Thinking about it, I think it's more that than it is a stim. But then I've realised that stims then bring you out of meltdowns. Because I mean, you've never seen me have a meltdown, and I haven't had a meltdown in. It's been a long time since I've had a meltdown. It's probably been nearly a year, maybe a little bit longer than a year.
Yeah.
I found that I rock during meltdowns, or not to begin with, but you know that bit when the main bulk of the meltdown has happened and then you're in the, still in it, but you're more kind of like aware and more slightly more in control. I've noticed at that point then I'll naturally go into like a rock or like rocking motion. And that seems to bring me out of it like straight away. I don't do loud noises or that kind of thing, but mine aren't thoughts. So like in your case, like your meltdowns are brought on by thinking the same stuff repeatedly for too long. And then you've got the stims of screaming and the pain ones to try and distract yourself from the thought process that's put you into the meltdown. Because obviously if you can't bring yourself out of the thought process, you'll just stay in it.
Yeah.
But if you can do the stims to bring you out of it. In my case, my meltdowns are normally triggered by just a build-up of things. So mine take like a couple of days to happen, and it'll just be a build-up of like things that have gone against either routine or just things that have happened that aren't that good. Bad stuff has happened in general. And then there's like that one last thing. And the one last thing is always something. It can always be something. Well, it's not always, but it can be something really minor. Yeah. Like really minor. And then that's it. I'm done. But like I rock, I've noticed during it, as a stim to get myself out of the, to pull myself out of the meltdown. There are other things that work for me in that sense, but yeah, I can see why. But I've never had any of the negative or bad stims. I don't do any of the stuff you've said, but I know it's more common. I know that some people get scared for their, I don't know, sibling, like partner, that kind of thing, if they have those ones. Like in your case, like the only times that I've been present for your meltdowns and you've tried to do the head hitting stim, I've tried to stop you, but that's it really. I've never seen you do any of the other hand ones or things like that. I've just seen your hands after and have known what that means, but you've never like particularly like damaged the skin. There's no like scars in your hands.
No, there's no scars. It's never, this is the thing, like it's not, I'm sure that there are people out there that have way worse and then they I don't know what you'd be able to do to fix it, because like I say, it's never a planned thing. I never think like, now I'm going to hurt myself. It's, I almost don't know I'm doing it until I've sort of stopped having a meltdown, and then I look and think, oh no, I didn't mean to do that.
And yeah, you are quite like nonchalant about it after, when people see your scratched up hands. You are just like, yeah, like that kind of thing. So
yeah, because I figure like I think that's the best way to go about it. People go, oh no, your hands. And I'll be like, oh yeah, it's nothing. Or people go, what did you do? And I'll just go, nothing. Because I don't want people to have this like any sort of sympathy for me, because it's unnecessary. Like I'm fine. And also, I also don't want to explain it either. I'd rather just...
Well, you couldn't. I mean, you can now, yeah. Because you kind of know where it is. But like a few months ago, you've just gone with, I've scratched my own hands up.
Yeah.
Why? Because I couldn't stop thinking a thought.
Yeah.
Do you know? Like, it does sound a bit... I think if you don't have the, like, the autistic thing, if you explain that to just someone that's neurotypical, I chopped my own, like, well, chopped. I scratched my hands up to stop me from thinking. Like, do you know what I mean? It does sound a bit crazy. A bit
mental, yeah.
Which is why, yeah, people hide their stims quite a lot, or used to, I suppose. Yeah. I saw this thing on, like, parenting, which was about, they called it masking or stimming. Do you let your child stim, or do you mask it? I didn't bother reading the masking, but I'm assuming masking just means cover up of the stim, so the child doesn't appear as autistic. But yeah, stimming's like a normal, like, everyday thing. Apparently most people, or everybody does. Like I said, I was convinced that I didn't, but then after looking into a couple of things, I was like, oh wait, no, I do. I think everybody does. I think it's just knowing what they are, and they just seem to be a comfort thing. Even the bad ones,
yeah, they're
said, they do seem, because you're aware of the fact that the meltdown is not pleasant, so you're using these bad stims as a way to make it go away. So yeah. I think they are talking about it a bit more with you now. They're all just a way of like dealing with anxiety and stress. And I guess if you know what they are, you kind of know to do them at points when you're stressed, or it's a good marker, because obviously a lot of people with Asperger's don't know what you're feeling. Like, it drives me mad when people go, how are you feeling right now, or how are you feeling within yourself, like that kind of thing. And yeah. I just sort of go, I don't know. Like, I have no idea. Yeah. I have no idea if I'm happy, sad. I don't know if I'm stressed. Like, I just assume I'm stressed, but I don't genuinely feel stressed. It's the same with anxiety. Anxiety for me is like a fleeting thing. I'll feel it briefly because, like, I've realised my heartbeat's gone up, but that's as far as it goes.
Yeah, usually I don't know how I am until someone... If someone goes, oh, you seem happy today, I'll sort of go, oh, I guess I am. Or if someone goes, are you all right? You seem like you're in a bad mood. I'll sort of go... Oh, I wonder why I'm in a bad mood. Like, it does tend to be a sort of, I judge it based on what other people are telling me.
Whereas if you stim, I guess, or if you take a second to realise you're stimming, you must think, something's bothering me, I suppose. Or it's a good indicator that something's happening that's causing havoc. Because you don't stim all the time.
No.
But it must be triggered at certain points. So, like, I think if I start doing stuff, like you said, like me doing the weird noises and voices towards the end of my shift, it is a sign of either, like, I've had a long day or that kind of thing. So I don't always do it. And I don't think I do it at home.
The voices you do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the voices I do. I just say odd things in weird voices. Like, I say sentences to people that don't make any sense.
Yeah.
And people just tend to go, what? And then I go, yeah. And then I just walk off again. They all must be an indicator of something. So I suppose if you're somebody that stims and you're stimming at certain points, maybe it's a good way of noticing, pay attention to when you're doing it and try and think why you're doing it based on where you are.
Yeah.
And then that's a good indicator of like one of your traits or one of your problems or one of the things that you've realised you might have even realised it was a problem, but you're just like, I have noticed that I start doing this every time I'm doing this. And then you know that the two things are related to each other.
Yeah.
But then equally, it's a good way of knowing that if you're going to go do a similar situation, to just start the stimming early, maybe, like instead of naturally starting it, like get in there and start it. Yeah. It might make that situation.
Yeah, that's true.
Easier to deal with.
I would never, like, with just what you were talking about with the masking or stimming, like, or would you let your child? I'd probably just let them stim.
Well, like I say, today it doesn't matter. Yeah. Like, these days, nobody... I think it's less of a thing.
I would understand if your child has, a stim that's completely, not socially acceptable. Like, say one of their stims is, I don't know, like you said, with pulling their clothes, if they did that to an extent where they start, revealing, their body, then I'd understand the stopping. Or if they're hurting themselves, I would stop that.
Maybe find a new one to replace it with or something.
Yeah, if you can. I don't do the hand thing when I'm around you, because you usually stop my meltdowns before by jumping on top of me.
Mm.
So I don't get a chance. I think if someone's stimming, I would just let them do it, unless it's something that, is considered, not socially acceptable, or is, really drawing attention to them, because that might make them worse. If everyone's looking at them, they'll probably just do it more because they're more stressed out now that everyone's looking at them. So if it's something like that, then maybe I'd try and stop them doing it, or take them somewhere more private so that they don't do that. Draw attention to themselves. But I would just let... I think if you've got a child on the spectrum, I'd just let them stim when they can, because it is, as far as I can tell, I think it is a release, and it will make them feel better for being able to do it.
Yeah, definitely.
I think there's more stress linked to not wanting to stim and then being stopped from doing it. Then you're thinking even more about wanting to do it.
Yeah, imagine if they had gum at work and you asked for some and I went, no.
Oh, I know. I get really, you might have noticed, but I get really annoyed if I'm stroking something soft and someone tells me no. Mm. It really, I get, all of a sudden my brain sort of flips and I get really anxious and annoyed and...
Yeah.
So, yeah, I can imagine.
I think it's just a necessary and normal part of being a burger, I guess, is the stimming. You're going to do it, but just do it. But yeah, I think that's it for the week. Although I was going to mention the fact that you've now got a possible diagnosis time, date. It's coming up.
I mean, it's still quite a while away.
It's still vague. It's not quite a while away. They said start of next year.
Yeah.
It's September now.
Yeah, that's true.
So what's that? October, November, December, and then we're there. So
Jesus.
In 2-3 months, you could be an official burger. And then you get the badge, the gun, the uniform.
The certificate.
The tattoo. I'm trying to think what else comes with diagnosis. I swear there's the burger signal.
A lifetime supply of corn burgers.
Yeah, there's that. There's loads of stuff. Loads of stuff you get.
Can't wait.
Yeah. Well, you get all they'll probably get you a social worker and
only if I get diagnosed.
You'll get diagnosed. I don't think... I've been saying for ages, you definitely will. I don't think there's anyone listening to this that thinks, oh, she's a liar. she's faking it. I don't think you worry too much.
I know.
I don't think they're going to say no.
I worry.
I reckon you'll get diagnosed pretty quickly. Anyway, that's the end of the episode. Thanks again for listening. Also, like I said, if anybody wants to, you can follow us now on Facebook, which is Them Aspergers, or it's at Them Aspergers, apparently, on Facebook. On Twitter, it's at @them_Aspergers. Don't know why. It's Twitter. I guess it's a bit more fancy. So it felt that an underscore was needed. But also, just look for Them Aspergers. We are literally the only one. I found that if you Google Them Aspergers, we show up first now as a podcast.
Oh, cool.
We're all over various podcasts. I think there's everything now, everything that podcasts were on it. And there is Instagram. I've put us on Instagram, but I feel like if we're going to do Instagram, I'll have to take a picture of something. So I've got to figure out how to post on that
one. We'll just start taking weird pictures of ourselves and putting that up. yeah, like there were a few people that mentioned like how to get in touch with us. So yeah, I'd
any
do,
of
it,
them?
Do it through our social media. Most people message us through Facebook.
Yeah, on the new page, you can message us on there.
Yeah.
You can actually message us through Anchor as well, which is where this is where it goes originally. But yeah, if you want to ask anything, or even if it's not like a question, you just want to ask something privately or that kind of thing. We're pretty good at responding because both of us will see it.
Yeah, we both read them. We tend to respond based on who the question seems to be more aimed at, but
yeah.
we both have our say in it. And thank you so much for the people that left reviews as well, because they were really nice and they made me really happy.
Yeah, I know. It was the ones that were left on
iTunes.
But yeah.
most people seem to listen to us through iTunes.
Yeah. Yeah, there seems to be that, or the other one's other, but I don't know what that is. Anyway, yeah. anyway. So that's it.
Yes. But thank you, everybody.
Say it.
Bye.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.